Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Have you ever been shocked by some new information that basically proves to you that what you once believed was right, you were actually wrong? Have you ever had that happen to you? Well, like something that you believed for so long, and all of a sudden you heard some new information, and then you went, oh, I was wrong. Deep fried Mars bars, you can't lose weight with those things. See something? What? Some of you just needed to hear that. Has that ever happened to you? Seriously, it may be about something minor or something, you know, quite important for your life. Well, for me, I grew up watching Coyote and Roadrunner. Anyone remember the Coyote? And remember that? Who grew up watching that? Okay. Well, you know, as a young person, you watch this, and obviously, poor Coyote's always frustrated because he can't catch the Roadrunner because the Roadrunner is faster than the Coyote. And so that's why he's never going to catch him. And therefore, there is a whole cartoon about the thing. And, you know, I watched that as I was growing up. But I started to realize there was a dark side to me beginning to develop as I grew up and I was getting older. Some of you know what I'm about to say, yeah? Yeah, and I started to want Coyote to actually catch. Did anyone start to want Coyote to actually catch the Roadrunner? Like, just kill that thing, man. You know? Like, I used to be on Roadrunner's side, like, get away, Roadrunner, get away. And so I started to get a bit, Coyote, can you hurry up and just come up with a new plan and actually catch the guy? Well, as I got older, I started to, by the way, there is, I don't know whether I should tell you or not, certainly don't look at it right now, but there is actually a cartoon where Coyote does catch the Roadrunner. Some of you have seen it, yeah. So there's a whole, someone's made a cartoon. It's actually very well done. There's a little bit of, I don't suggest you should watch it, okay? I don't think you should watch it. That's just in case you didn't see that side. He actually catches the Roadrunner. He kills him. And then he discovers he's actually got no purpose in life. And he actually becomes an alcoholic. I mean, you can watch it. He becomes an alcoholic. And then he tries to kill himself. He actually wants to kill himself. And then as he's about to kill himself, he has a moment and he actually sits with his friend. He says, you know, I had a moment, and he becomes a Christian. I'm not just, is it true or not? Coyote ends up becoming a Christian. Anyway, why are we talking about that? Because this is, are you ready for something? Brace yourself for you Roadrunner loving people. This is the speed of the Roadrunner. 32 kilometers per hour. But Coyote can run at boom! There's the new information some of you were waiting for. That whole thing was a lie. Coyote could have eaten him up all day of the week. He just was doing a nice thing. So he actually was a Christian the whole time. He was just letting him get away the whole time, but really, he could have actually caught. Now, seriously, have you ever been in a situation where some new... So there you go, there's some new information for you of something you didn't know that's now changed your life. I know it has. How many of you have misheard words in songs? Yeah, yeah. There's that Bon Jovi song. She says we gotta hold on to what we've got. It doesn't make a difference if we... I always sort of said if we are naked or not. You guys knew that he was saying it doesn't really matter. Actually, some of you are still thinking that's what he says. He actually says it doesn't really matter if we make it or not. So I had a whole different version going on, like of Bon Jovi driving in his car with his missus, and they were both like naked, sort of driving their car. So I had this whole thing going on in my head. But you guys, what about, and then I saw her face, dun, 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 dun. Now, see, you guys got that right. I thought it said, now I'm going to leave her. And then I saw her face, and now I'm gonna leave her. I'm just being honest. These are just some of the things that I thought were the truth and I've since discovered are not the truth. Well, I've got another one of those things that I always did believe. I've since discovered the truth. But do you know that story in Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus talks about the people who build their houses, one on the sand and one on the... I'm just going to read it very, very quickly for you, and then I'm going to tell you what I used to think it was saying and then what I've since discovered. Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand." Verse 27, "The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." I had always read that with particular pictures in mind, and I think I got these pictures from my children's Bible. Because when I used to read that story to my children, there was the two houses, and there was the guy who built his house really well. And in the picture, the illustration, because it was an illustrative Bible, right? In that picture, the house was really well built. It was straight, had a roof, everything was strong, and it looked amazing. But the guy who built his house on the sand, in my daughter's Bible, the house was a bit dodgy, the walls were on angles, the window was sort of half hanging out like Helen's arm when she was dancing in the astronaut costume. And basically, what I took from this story, and every time I used to read it, I always used to see that the foolish person's house wasn't a great house, and the person who built his house on the rock was a really beautiful looking mansion, Memphis, Tennessee, Elvis Presley house. Yeah. Is anyone else a little bit guilty of sort of seeing that parable like that? Because the truth of the matter is, what Jesus was referring to in that story was not referring to the house at all. Yeah. He actually wasn't referring to the quality of the house. He was referring to the quality of the foundation. It had nothing. Jesus is not suggesting for 1 minute the foolish guy didn't build a good house. He's just saying where he built his house was not very wise. Are you here? In other words, listen, if you had have walked past both of those homes, you would not have known the difference between the foolish builder's house or the wise builder's house. You would not have known the difference. You would have only known the difference when the storm hit. That's when we all would have found out who built on what. And some of us think what Jesus is referring to here is how to build a better life. He's actually not. He's trying to say, how do you build a better foundation for your life? He's actually not talking about how to build a better behavior. He's talking about where are you building your better belief? Are you hearing? What are you building your life on? What are your philosophies grounded in? What guides your life? It's not about the house. It's actually about the foundation. Turn to your partner, your friend, your whoever it is, your companion, and just say, it's not about the house. It's about the foundation. Amen. Why is this important to know? Because the storms are coming, friends, and they will keep coming. Have you noticed that you and the person who has absolutely no faith in God or whoever it is, have you noticed that we all go through the same things in life? Have you noticed that we all go through the same sicknesses? Have you noticed that we all go through a little bit of financial hardship? Have you noticed that we all go through different troubles in life? And the funny thing is that we are often shocked by the trials and the troubles of life when Jesus makes it very clear those two houses experienced the same disasters. He doesn't even take one of the disasters out. The wind, the rain, the storm, both houses. And we've got to be careful we don't have a theology, you become a Christian, no storms. No. It's not that you don't go through a storm. Jesus says, I'll be going through it with you. And if we, yeah, come on. Do not expect a storm-free life. We will experience, at times, huge discouragement. But what's your house built on? If it's built on the rock, if it's built on the foundation of Jesus, he says, yeah, you'll go through discouragement, but your house won't fall. You build on sand, you'll go through discouragement, it'll ruin your life. Same disasters, same storms. Friends, you haven't done something wrong because you're going through some storms right now. Now, you may have, but we all make mistakes. We're going to go through some stuff. What Jesus is saying is, listen, you're going to go through it. Don't be shocked by that. What does he actually say? He says it here in John 16:33. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. How much clearer does Jesus need to say it? In this world you will, not might, will have trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. What's he saying? Listen, guys, you're going to go through storms, just build your life on me. That's what he's trying to say. You're going to go through storms. In your relationships, you're going to go through some storms. It's okay, just build your life on me. I'll get you through it. I have seen marriages in this place that if they didn't build it upon Jesus, what they are currently going through, they wouldn't have a marriage. But they have today. They have today. Absolutely, they've got one today. Why? Because they've built their house on the foundation of Jesus and his word. Hey, listen, this is what Jesus is trying to say. If Jesus is holding you up, your house isn't coming down. Did you like that? It was a little bit of T.D. Jakes just there. Did you like that? If Jesus is holding you up, he takes a little bit of pride in himself. If I'm holding you up, you're not falling down. The question is, sometimes we think we have built on his foundation, but he says, you actually haven't. And so today, we just need to make a decision that we're going to build on his foundation. But listen, he doesn't build the house. You do. Every one of us, listen, every day that goes by, you are building your house. Your house is the life that you're making for yourself. And what he's trying to say to all of us today is, listen, we're all building a house. I'm not trying to tell you to build a house today. We are all building a house. Every one of you are building a house right now as we speak. Right now. Some of you are building right now because you're taking this message and applying it to your life. So you're building a house. Every one of us are building a house. When you watch Discovery Channel, you're building a house. And when some guy says, you know, there is no God, well, you've got to be careful. Are you going to allow that type of thinking to enter into your head? Because now you've switched from the rock over to sand. Are you hearing? Either way, you're building a house. Where are you building your house? You cannot live life and not build a house. Jesus is not telling you to try and build a house. He's saying you're building one anyway. Where are you building it? Let's make a decision as a church. We're not going to build it on sand. We're going to build it on the rock, which is Jesus and his word and his church and his people. That's where we're going to build it. Are you hearing me? This is so important to me because I was in Bali with my wife just recently. And I was in the pool. Helen was sort of out there relaxing. And there was a young couple there. And I'm going to give them a shout out because they listen to the podcast now. So how you going, guys? Talking about you right now. And I'm with this couple. She's a Christian. He's not. And we're talking. And, you know, I'm just doing what I do and just trying to help them understand Christianity. And eventually, push comes to shove. He comes out with the truth. He goes, can I just be honest? I just don't like what you guys do. You guys being you guys. Christians. He goes, I just don't like what you guys do. I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, you know, all the wars, all the little kids getting hurt, all the guilt that you guys put on people, all the things that you do and you know, I just don't like, and he came out with it, he goes, I just don't like religion. And I said, bro, neither do I. And he's like, I said, no, I don't like it at all. I said, but buddy, you need to do something for me. You need to draw a line in the sand between religion and Jesus. I said, tell me what you don't like about religion. And he told me. I said, yeah, but Jesus didn't do that. He says, you know, religion lies to people. Yeah, but Jesus doesn't lie to people. Yeah, but these people abuse young kids. Yeah, but Jesus doesn't abuse young kids. Yeah, but these people put guilt on people. Yeah, but hang on a minute. Jesus doesn't put guilt on people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to what he's saying. He was building his house on the sand. He had a whole philosophy that was built on sand. Listen, that's not what we're building. We're building over here. And and this is what he says to me. I have never heard someone tell me that there's a difference between that and Jesus. He goes, you're absolutely right. I've never heard a bad thing about Jesus. See, no one's got a problem with our Jesus. What they've got a problem with is when we build our house on sand. They just don't like when we start talking about stuff, doing stuff that's got nothing to do with Jesus. How about we just as a church commit ourselves to saying, we're not going to do anything, we're not going to say anything, we're not going to be anything. If Jesus hasn't said it and Jesus didn't do it, then we're not going to do it either. But if he did, then we are. And if Jesus said it, we're going to say it. If he preached it, we're going to preach it. If he did it, we're going to do it too. We get ourselves into trouble when we start building on sand. But you know, when you just build your life on Jesus, man, you can't go wrong. Will you have a perfect, free, storm-free life? No, I have never said that. Neither did Jesus. But will your house stand? Yes. Do you remember the story? By the way, that girl and her sisters all came to church in Brisbane. And they came and they loved it. And now we're still just working on that young man. Did you hear me? I'm still working on you, bro. He's a great guy. He just needed to see the difference. Do you remember the story when four guys were trying to carry their paralyzed friend to go get healing? Do you remember this story? Let's just read it for a moment. It says, and again, he, that's Jesus, entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Jesus was in the house. Immediately many gathered so that there was no longer room to receive them. That's what happens when Jesus is in the house. It says, not even near the door. And Jesus preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down, everyone say let down, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Let me tell you what I really want to bring home today. These four people were trying to get their friend to Jesus, but they couldn't because of the crowd. And I want to suggest to you that sometimes the reason why we can't get people to Jesus is because of the crowd, the people that aren't living the life, the people that say that they're Christians, but they're really not. Does anyone know what I'm talking about today? And sometimes it's hard to get a sin-sick person to Jesus because the house is full. Later on, we discover who it was full of. It was full of religious people, Pharisees, because they had a huge issue with Jesus forgiving this guy's sin. They couldn't get this sin-sick guy to Jesus because of the religious. Are you hearing me? But they didn't give up. Because they just knew if we could just get our friend to Jesus though. Hey, maybe some of you are feeling like, you know what, I think I've lost sight of Jesus because of the religious, because of the crowd. Yeah. I want to challenge some of you. Have you lost sight of Jesus? Don't lose sight of Jesus. Yeah. Because of the disappointment of some leaders, of some Christians that call themselves Christians, whether they are or they aren't, I don't know. But friends, whatever you've been disappointed by, don't let that affect your knowledge and your love and your grace and your passion for Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So listen. They pulled off the tiles. Some of you probably need to have, this needs to happen to your house. You're like, I've got corrugated iron, they can't do it to my house. Well, we'll get angle grinders out. Listen, they let him down, but he landed at the feet of Jesus. Hey, listen, some of you have been let down. But have you landed at the feet of Jesus? Are you hearing me? It's okay to be let down. Don't be disappointed when you get let down. Because sometimes what it does is it lands you right at the feet of Jesus. Because you may lose hope in everything, but don't lose your hope in the Savior. Come on, give the Lord a shout. I'm preaching a whole lot better, seriously, than what you guys are responding. I'm telling you that Jesus hasn't changed. I'm telling you the gospel is still the gospel. And people can do it or not do it and live it or not live it. Why are we shocked by people who don't live it when Jesus himself said, be careful of wolves that are dressed in sheep's clothing? Why are we shocked when people are actually wolves who are dressed up as sheep? Why are we like, what? Jesus goes, didn't I talk to you about that in chapter 7? No, you don't read your word. What's going on? Why are we shocked by it? We should just go, oh, that's what Jesus was talking about. And just keep building your house on the rock. Oh, that's what Jesus was talking about. I'm going through a really bad financial storm right now. Jesus said that would happen, but I'm built on the rock. What's the rock? That God is for me. He's not against me. And if I just keep doing the right thing for a long time, God's going to help me because he loves me. And I'm going to pull out of this. That's building your house on the rock. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Friends, it's not about your house. It's all about the foundation. I'm going to suggest to you, you could build the best house ever and you will get to heaven one day and you'll be showing off your pivot doors and your shutters and your beautiful garden and anything else that relates to houses. And the only thing God will be looking at one day when you get to heaven is not your house. He's looking at your foundation. That's the only thing God's going to care about. What's your foundation? Oh, is it my son? Come on in. Because some of our homes aren't that great. And some of us are going to get to heaven and you think you've built a mansion, but you may have built a bungalow. But God says it doesn't matter. As long as you've built your bungalow on the foundation of Jesus, you're on your way in, young man. Some people are going to get to heaven. They've got this huge mansion that they think they've built. And God says, yeah, but you built it on sand. There's no room for people that have built it on sand. Listen to what I'm saying to you guys. It's far less about you and it's a whole lot more about him. Just keep building your life on the rock that is Jesus and his teaching and his sacrifice for our sin. Give the Lord a huge round of applause. Hey, some of us have built our house on our career. Your career is great, but you know your career is shifting sand because one day you're a nurse and then the next day you retire. Now what are you? Well, you've got to be careful because you're a builder today, but next week you're not a builder. Today you're an artist, but next week you're not an artist. So you know what? That's just shifting sand. Don't do that. Jesus says, you know what? Build your house on who he is because that never changes. Some of us have built our house on our marriages. We think that's what entitles us to greatness. And God says, no, because you know what? God forbid, but your partner may die one day. Then who are you? See, if you've built your house on how wonderful your marriage is, I guarantee you, your house is going to fall over one day. You will come to, like Jesus said, your house will come to great ruin because of the shifting sand of your life. But let me tell you what's never going to change. Jesus being your Savior, Jesus being your God. Have a great marriage, have a great business, have all these great things. But when you are centered in on him, that's never, ever, 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 ever going to change. So just receive it. Just receive it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The foundation of what Jesus has done. What is it, friends? It's called grace. Build your life on grace. Don't build your life on how wonderful you are. Build your life on how wonderful he is. Talk about Jesus a lot. Talk about what he has done for you. You know, I understand that when people go through a betrayal, I understand when, you know, I talked to a guy recently and some stuff's going on in his family And he's so discouraged because he's talking about is this and how disqualified he is because things didn't work out. And I'm just thinking, if you only realized how qualified you are because of Jesus. All of us are disqualified. If I was to ask a question, I'm not going to do it because some of you may be crazy and put your hand up. But if I was to say, is there anyone that is completely perfect in this room? I don't think there'd be a hand that would go up. All of us have got something going on. So that disqualifies all of us from talking about Jesus, from serving him. But when we leave that alone and just say, you know what? I'm only qualified because of what Jesus did for me. Now you're perfectly qualified. So why would we camp over there when we can camp over here? Let's just stay over here and just keep talking about what God has done for us, what Jesus did for us on the cross. Then we're going to find ourselves there. Are you hearing me? I just want to breathe encouragement into every soul in this place. Some of you are so hard on yourselves and you're discouraged because things aren't going well. And you know, the Bible says, even if your heart condemns you, God is still faithful. God is greater than your heart. He's even greater than your heart. In other words, God is saying, why are you being so hard on yourself? Just shift foundations. It'll change everything that you think and believe. Just shift. You know, then there's some other people and you don't feel disqualified. You feel like you're completely qualified. Like, wow, you know, I don't even think I need to build on Jesus. I'm going to get to heaven all by myself and just say, God, aren't I wonderful? You know what? Can I just challenge you with that? You know, if Jesus is 100% holy, and he is, and 0% is the axe murderer, the person who's just whatever he is, right? He's just this terrible person here. Where would you rate yourself on that scale? Would you say that you are 100%? Mother Teresa said that, you know what? I'm not worthy of him. Billy Graham said, you know, My godliness is nowhere near Jesus. So if Billy Graham is saying stuff like that, where would you rate yourself? Would you give yourself 70%? Now, honestly, think about that for a moment. Where do you rate yourself in godliness? Are you 60? Some of you are like, man, I'm not even on the scale. Some of you are like, no, I'm probably a 90. Okay, I want to just ask you a question. If I was jumping from building to building, so here's the building, and here's the next building, and down here is an alleyway. If I'm trying to jump from one building to the next, if I take a huge leap and I jump, and then as I'm jumping, and my fingers scrape the side of the building, where do I land? Am I dead? Yeah, I'm dead. What about this person? The next person jumps after me, and they just go, and they actually trip on this building, and they just go, whoa! And they just like literally scrape this building. Can I ask you a question? Where did both of us end up? In the same alleyway, dead. Right? Are you hearing what I'm saying? This guy scraped the side of the other. This guy scraped the side of the first building. Who cares? We both ended up dead. We didn't make it. I'm telling you, to get to the other side, friend, Jesus says, I'll make up the gap. So you may be 90%. God says, that's not quite good enough, but I'll make up the 10 for you. And some of you are like, but I'm only 50%. Great, because I'll make up the 50 for you. Some of you are like, but I'm only 33%. Great, I'll make up the 67% for you. And I knew I had to throw out a stupid number line. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, this is what I'm saying. From the front to the back, side to side, every person in this place, we all need Jesus. You all need Jesus. We all need him. Ah, Pastor Richard, I was baptized as a child and I wear a gold cross around my neck and I did my Holy Communion. Great. Okay, 25% for you. No, and I gave some money last week. 33% for you. And I have got a good marriage. Oh, mate, 80%. Okay, for you. And I, great, 90. And I, great, 99.9. You're still not going to make it. You just got to say, Jesus, I need you. Just listen, stop making it about you. It's not about you. It's about him. So every day when you put your feet on the carpet is what you're doing every day. I put my feet on the rock of Jesus. That's what you're doing every day. Every day I'm building my life on you, Lord. So when you get betrayed that day, you just go, this is what your house does. Wow, that was horrible, but you're still standing. You're still behaving like a Christian, right? Because it will come, but yeah, your feet are on the rock. Just make a decision every day. That's what you're going to do with your life. Amen. Is this okay? This is how I live. Honestly, I said to my wife, you know what? I'm going to tell the church one day. I'm going to really reveal the secret to them. She goes, what is it? Now, there's a hint of sarcasm in this, so just brace yourself. I said, I'm going to tell the whole church, listen, any bad things that have happened in your life, any bad decisions in your life, anything that's ever gone wrong in your life, I'm going to help you out today. It's all my fault, Pastor Richard. And some of you are like, really? You'd be surprised what people blame me for. You would be surprised. They buy a car they can't afford. They end up losing their house over it. It's Pastor Richard's fault. They smoke drugs, get caught by the police, get put into jail, lose their license. It's Pastor Richard's fault. I think we all know that's not the truth, right? Let me help you here. We all go through some tough stuff. Stop building your life on me. I'm going to say that again. Stop building your life on me, because I could be a shifting sand. As long as you're built on the rock, you're going to be okay. It's all going to be good. Amen. Stop building your life on people. Jesus doesn't say, except for your partner, except for your children. Stop building on people. Build on Jesus. Is that okay? I'm being really blunt with you today. But yeah, amen. Stop building on people. Build on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me go a little bit deeper with the couple of seconds I got left. Young people, Jesus is Jesus, whether your parents have got an awesome marriage or a bad marriage. Don't be distracted by what's going on in their life. Now, pray for them, love them. Stop building your faith on their faith. Listen, they set you off on a journey. They had an expectation. They had a dream for you. And some of you are living that dream. But some of you young people, your foundation's shaking because mum and dad, it's not working out too well for them right now. Yeah, okay, pray for them. But was your faith in them or in Jesus? This is good preaching, by the way. This is really, 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 really helpful preaching. Well, my dad, he swears a lot, so I can swear too. Did Jesus swear? Can please help me out here, everyone. Right, come on, everyone help me out here. Did Jesus swear? So if you're a swearing Christian, you're building on sand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we do what he does. But my dad swears. Oh, so your foundation's on your dad, on your mum. What makes something okay or not okay is, did Jesus do it? Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is really helpful. Let's follow Jesus. Let's make him the center of our lives, of our church, of everything that is going on in our lives today. Come on, let's give him a huge round of applause.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.